This is the Piper Report. But wait a minute, it was the same guy that was on last hour, sitting in for Michael Collins Piper. Michael is at home sick. Heal well and heal fast, Michael. I know you listen to the program, and I will do my best to hold down your hour here. I was talking with Jeff in Vermont. We were talking about Bernie Sanders from Vermont admitting that, yeah, there's too much of a influence, AIPAC, the ADL, and other Jewish lobbies, lobby groups in Washington, D.C. Go ahead with what you were saying, Jeff.
I just want to say that I have Jewish friends, and I'm not, you know, saying anything derogatory towards Jews.
No, absolutely not.
But it was strange the way he said it. He goes. It's kind of weird, Jeff. When people say neocon, and it's derogatory in the aspect, they really want to say Jew. And I go. Well, I just. And he goes. It's just not fair that, you know, that it seems like the influence on the White House right now is a neocon agenda. And he goes, I don't know how to describe it. I know the majority of our people aren't like that, but the influence that the pro-Israels have in the White House and in Congress right now is kind of overwhelming. You know, he said it's hard to believe how much strength they have. And I just recently said, so, you know, so what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you know, you're anti-war, you're anti, you know, you're pro-peace, you're for people's rights. Well, he says he is, but, and I go, so what are you going to do? And he goes, well, I don't know. I'm just going to try to put an end to it. We're going to try to get the Bushes out of the White House. And if that stops, there'll be no more Project for a New American Century. There'll be no more EI. They'll be on the back shelf like they were in the Clinton administration. And I just said, well, you know, with the Clintons, they had the PNAC. You know, they drew the plan in the war for the Bosnians and to defeat Milosevic. And I go, it's kind of, these guys seems like they're the war party, you know. And it's, and I go, it's a tragedy, you know. And it's just. And I don't really like talking, you know, like sad things, but, you know, it's sad. You know, it's just hard to fathom that, you
well,
know.
Well, and like I told, there were some producers that I was in contact with. They used to call me all the time. They were on another network, American Freedom Radio Network, as a matter of fact. And a good majority of them over there were Jewish. And I used to get calls from their producers. And one of them one night said to me, that, well, you know, you're just a little Christian boy, and, you know, they're going to tack you up on the cross like Jesus Christ. And my response to that was, well, they just very well might one day. I said, but why don't you do me a favor if you care so much about me? Why don't you clean your own house?
Yes, exactly.
That resonated, and that's what started the ball reversing in this country. People starting to recognize where a lot of our problems are coming from. And I make the distinction. You can check on the ADL website. Do a web search on my name. It'll go back to the 90s. It'll go back to the 90s when I was associated with those evil militias. But you won't see anything about John Stadtmiller on the ADL site because they know this one can see. And I make that distinction between Zionists and the other Jews. Thanks for your call, Jeff. We've got to run. Thank you very much. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Sitting in for Mike Piper today. We'll be right back.
Over 100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Cholestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242 for colestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
Just got the totals here for being on the air for 2 days. Yesterday I was on the air at 6 a.m. This morning I was on the air a little after 7, and it is now 6 o'clock at night. And I don't know whether to give up radio, get drunk, or just shoot myself. One-time donations off of a 2-day pledge drive for this network, $3,680. A total of the monthly pledges for the next 12 months, $945 a month. Do you now know why I said about the patriots in this country letting other people carry the ball for them? Of not taking the individual responsibility and stepping up to the plate and taking the hardest swing that you ever have in your life. Do you remember my little analogy last hour? That what you think the percentage, and I'm not talking about patriotism as defined by Bill Clinton or George Bush, either you're with us or you're against us. I'm talking about patriotism, the Jeffersonian or the Washingtonian type of patriotism, a fire that burns so hot within inside you, you're ready to spontaneously burst into a ball of flame. And I ask the question, what percentage of, if you consider yourself to be a true patriot, what percentage do you think that's actually actively involved, that's supporting causes or rolling up their sleeves and getting involved? What percentage of people is it? And then I said, say it's 30%. This is looking like more like 5%. To one day be standing on the front porch and to see patriots mowed down in the streets right in front of you. And you hurriedly run into your house and shut the doors and pull the blinds and live in abject fear and terror for the rest of your lives. But it's just not only you. It's going to be your legacy. It's going to be your children. That you're just selling them into abject slavery and despotism, the likes you have never seen. You know, when I was up at AFP, and I guess this is the proper format, Michael Collins Piper writes for the American Free Press. The Spotlight newspaper had a circulation going upwards to 500,000. 500,000 per week, folks, newspapers. They were showing up every place in the country. Everybody was reading it. And the ADL could not stand this. And they sought to destroy the Spotlight newspaper. And successfully did. Destroyed the newspaper, but not the people that were involved with it. They rolled up their sleeves, went back to work. I was told by the editor of the American Free Press, I asked, what is your circulation today? Because when I went up to AFP, I'd asked Willis Cardo this before. He was the founder of the Spotlight, a very bright individual, very smart man. And I asked him, you know, and I did this with this in mind. That I said I wanted to see the American Free Press in paper boxes all around the country, on every city street, right next to the very, very stylish USA Today. Using the very same paper boxes, ladies and gentlemen, Willis Cardo can buy these paper boxes at $600 per unit. So what if four or five of your buddies in a town decided, you know, I'm going to cough up 75 bucks or whatever, and we're going to put the Spotlight out there on the busiest corner right next to the New York Times and USA Today and have that weekly newspaper there. And how we'll recoup our money from that investment on that paper box is we're going to sell the American Free Press. A few eyebrows raised at that point. Because here would be the deal. Well, you did it once successfully. I proved to myself it could work. Tell you what, guys, ante up another 75 bucks here. Let's put another paper box up. And then you get your friends to help you with restocking of the paper boxes. And for once in people's lives, they didn't have to read the claptrap out of USA Today or their local plain dealer or their Austin Un-American Statesman or whatever newspaper. That for once in their life, they could pick up a very good-looking newspaper, but more importantly, not just the splash and the flash, but the content of it. And I was told that going upwards to 500,000 copies every single week going out under then the banner of Spotlight, now being AFP, their circulation is right around 22,000 a week. And then they told me what it cost to put this newspaper out. And I was bowled over. That it actually cost just the printing of the paper and the postage to send it out almost $700,000 a year. Print is a very expensive medium. But you get price breaks. As the circulation and the papers that you purchase from the printing companies goes up, you get price breaks. Before too long, the price per copy of newspaper goes way down, and it becomes easier for a publisher to make many more copies. And then I told them what it cost Republic Broadcasting Network to operate for a full year, $200,000 less than what it cost them to put out this newspaper and to pay for the postage. And I know that we have one heck of a lot of people that listen to this network. And if that's the case, where are you? Where are all you good patriots? Where are all you people that proclaim liberty and freedom and you want your country back? I want it back just as badly as you do, if not more. But we put a little thing together here. It's very, very effective. None of these talk show hosts on this network, ladies and gentlemen, receive any money whatsoever. And whether you're talking about, you know, Professor Jim Fetzer, or you're talking about a Michael Collins Piper, or you're talking about a Dr. Bill Deagle, or you're talking about Rick Adams, or anybody that's on this network that don't receive one thin dime, I'll tell you why they do it. Because they want their country back. Because in our minds, this country is not worth living in if we cannot live as free people. Let me look at these numbers again. Let me make sure that I'm not missing some points and some zeros here. No. Out of 2 days of doing a what I would consider to be a marathon telethon, $3,680 in one-time donations, just one time, $945 a month pledge per month, less than $1,000 a month, when it cost me $500,000 a year to run this network. I am working with AFP. I want to see them back up, climbing up to 500,000 copies, maybe even more per week. I talked to Chris Plethrick. I talked to Willis Cardo. I talked to Vince Ryan. I talked to these people. I want to do some things with Chris Plethrick. I want their newspaper out on the street corners. I want their webpage, everybody to know about it. I want to take other organizations. I want to take other publications. I want to take other groups and organizations that are doing the work. And I want to promote them. I want to cross-promote them. Not because I'm going to make money out of it. Not because I see dollar signs. It's because I see an opportunity to spread the truth. And what we've all been waiting for, rather than playing little Dutchy boy trying to plug the next leak in the dam. But to garner a force of Americans that want this country back so badly that they'll never feel fear again. That they'll never have to worry or look over their shoulders or be afraid to speak. And without that kind of country, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the country that I want to spend the rest of my life in and die in. I'm not saying I'm going anywhere. But my God, what are we consigning ourselves to? Defeat? When victory is only the next person away if everybody gets involved? Kill that break. Just kill the damn thing. When we're at a point that we can geometrically explode, and you can feel comfortable because now you know you got boots on the ground. Now you know that you have your comrades in arms that are not going to resign. They're not going to run. They're not going to shy away. How are we going? Somebody call me up on this program today and tell me exactly how we're going to do it, because you know what? Outside of this medium, I don't see how it's possible to do. Do you? And if you've got an answer, please give it to me. And don't call me up and tell me to commit suicide if you're tired of it. Suicide is not an option. Living in fear, abject fear, is not an option. Smitty in South Carolina. Hello, Smitty.
Yeah, I hadn't called in a while. You know, I made a commitment a good while back, and I got a little bit behind on it, but, you know, that was a medical reason, but I got called back up.
Are you doing well now?
Well, I'm in the stage of recuperating.
All right.
But, yeah, I'm getting around there fine.
Okay.
But, you know, the web page mm-hmm. and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've sent that to about everybody I know. Just told them, so, you know, put a little heading on something. You ought to check us out and see what you think. And everybody I meet, matter of fact, there's a pastor stopped by here today. Me and him had a conversation, and I was asking him, you know, about the Middle East. And I told him, I said, you know, that's the only part of the country that hadn't been taken over. And then, you know, the fellow asked me, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know more about the Bible than I do. And anyway, he doesn't see it.
He doesn't see it.
No, he doesn't. Well, you know, I told him, I said, you know, there's more to it than, I said, the church you have, you know, it's a little small church, but there's two organizations out there, the majority of the church belong to one or the other. And I said, you know, I believe that's what God forbids, you know. I said, those organizations, same thing as your government, you know, your government's crooked. And, well, it's like he told me, he said, I dwell primarily on the Bible. He said, I don't read much outside of it. And I said, well, I read a thing before that when things got bad, and, you know, I don't remember exactly how the thing went, a lot of people killed, and the guy was walking around, come over a hill there, and there's a lake. It had a lot of people in them, and he was turning them over. And I believe somebody came along and asked him what he was doing. And he said he was trying to find the preacher. He wanted to find that guy that lied to him.
You know what I would ask him, Smitty? I would ask him, you know, Reverend, please show me in the Bible, because you know it much better than I, that where it says that I have to stand by, good men standing by while evil prevails. Show me that section in the Bible. I want to see it.
Well,
I want to know and believe like you do, Reverend.
Well, you know, I made the statement to him. I said, if the pastors was fulfilling what they should be doing as a pastor preaching that Bible, I said this country wouldn't be in the shape it was in now.
Does he?
I said that, you know, you're the leader of the flock. I said, I'm the one that shouldn't be telling you this. You should be telling me this. I said, because you know that Bible a lot better than I do.
You know, maybe you can scare up a copy of The Patriot, Mel Gibson's Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't spell it out by name, but in that movie was part of the Black Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
The preachers at the time that picked up arms and went out of the fields to fight the tyranny of King George, to become free, and to once again be of God's people, to be. Oh, I'm telling you what. If pastors would unhinge themselves from whatever they're hung up on right now, this is the problem I had with a local preacher here in a local school/church. That one day he was up on the stage, on the pulpit, telling his flock that, you know, it's a good thing that we got George Bush in office, a good godly man. And I without even thinking, it wasn't even a conscious thing, I popped up out of my chair, and I'm standing there, and I'm staring at this man. And I didn't even realize I was doing it until he looked at me. And I realized what I had done. I didn't say anything. I walked out of that church. But I went back to that church. I sat down in that preacher's office, and I asked him directly, do you think that people that claim to be the purveyor of God's word are going to be treated differently than the common layman? I said, do you think God's judgment is going to be harder on that person? He said, yes. He said, I think that's biblically correct. I stood up. I looked him square in the eye. I shook his hand, and I said, well, good luck. And I walked out of there. I never walked back in that man's room. I never went back to that church. Because these preachers in this country, if they were teaching the Bible the way it was supposed to be taught, and they don't make eunuchs and cowards of men, but they did not tolerate evil around them, we would not be in this position in this country today.
Don't have to say amen to that.
Oh, buddy. Smitty, I'm glad you're healing well, my friend. A fast and speedy recovery. And I want you to be a thorn in that preacher's side.
John, I'm going to do the best I can do.
All righty, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling and holding on. All right. Nicholas in Texas. Hello, Nick.
How's it going, John?
Well, do you want the truth or you want me to lie?
Yeah, I know how you feel. I just wanted to call in and let you know that, I'm one of these people out here who made a commitment to, to pay a certain, amount every month back in January. And I've kind of dropped off since June, but that was because I've been having trouble making ends meet.
I'm going to tell you what, Nick, there's going to be a lot of people very, very soon. They're going to find it hard to make ends meet.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to pull it around to make ends meet.
Well, I hope that that's not the case. But
you can do whatever in one hand and hope in the other and see which one weighs more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I'm planning on sending in something before the end of the month, or as soon as I can, actually. I made a commitment that once I actually get some decent work in, that I'm going to devote whatever I make in one day's work to send in to RBN, because you guys are worth it, and I really appreciate what you're doing. I just wish I had half the passion that you do, sir.
It's within all of us. It's within all of us. It's more latent in some individuals than the others, but there will come a time, my friend, that Nick, that you'll light up like a Roman candle. Don't sell yourself short. That passion lies within all of us. The secret is how to let it out. Don't hold it back and don't try to control it. You just got to let it hang out.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions for you, John.
Sure.
Before I let you go, I'm wondering what that phone number is to AMC.
That phone number is for. Gosh, I've been up too many hours here. Aaron Russo's movie, Freedom to Fascism,
right,
to have AMC put that back in to release throughout their theater system, the second largest one in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for reminding me. That number is 816-221-4000. If the American people had the opportunity to see this movie, they would understand why we're in the financial straits that we are in today, why they are... Kill the break. Just kill the thing. Don't give me any more breaks for the rest of the program.
I love how you kill the brakes, John.
Well, and you know what? Sometimes we have to run these breaks because we have to ante up our contractual obligations to advertisers. But not today. Not today, friend. It is... I don't care. I've said this before. I don't care if it's the issue of 9/11. I don't care if it's the issue of Aaron Russo's movie, Freedom to Fascism, that wakes people up. I don't care if people decided up in one day that have not been putting forth the honest effort to bring more people into the fold and to once again, let's redefine and reclarify what true patriotism is. And we all march together and restore this country. I don't care what it is. I don't care how it happens. I know that communications, you know, here's another thing. People should be throwing up low-power FMs all over this country. All over this country. There is, in my estimation, for the amount of dollars spent, we can't touch TV. We can't even get close to television. But we can do the job on radio. There's something that everybody has in this country. Not everybody has a satellite dish. Not everybody has a computer. Not everybody has a shortwave radio. But there's one thing that just about every American owns in one form or fashion in this country, and that's an AM and FM radio. And they're used to the technology, and they will use it if there's something on the airwaves that's usable. And that's this network, my friend. And I'm running out of steam. I've been doing this for 14, going on 14 years. This is my second network. We don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resource to do this again. Because quite frankly, we're not going to have the time to do it again. And I've put together a pretty good product here. We don't have time to duplicate this again. I have approached other people that had existing networks. I'm not going to name names because I want these people who have been on the outside to once again come back in. I have approached people with existing networks, and I've told them, I said, look, let me do a network within a network. You have the facilities, you have the building. I'll pay for my own employees. I'll pay all my own bills. But I don't have the money to go out and start a new network. Well, I had to. Not only was I turned down once, I was turned down three times. And on this particular network, they have not done a good job by anybody. Not by any standard whatsoever. I know what needs to be done. I know what it takes to get it done. We just need to have people that get their head out of wherever it's been planted, because it's been awfully dank and it's been awfully dark and it don't smell too good.
John, am I still on with you?
Yes, you are.
Oh, wow, great. I wanted to ask you one other question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about shortwave reception, because I got a shortwave radio from you about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too familiar with how shortwave radios work, but I'm wondering if there's a kind of shortwave radio that can pick up a shortwave signal that wavers back and forth, because I noticed that shortwave signals kind of bounce back and forth between the frequency that you give. And I'm just wondering if there's a radio out there that has the capability of tracking that signal down and locking it in and focusing on it.
No, the problem is not in the tuners. The best tuners out there are the dual conversion tuners. What it does is it locks that signal in and it centers it. The problem is with the shortwave frequency again, because it's amplitude modulation. It bounces off the atmosphere. You get all kinds of drift and fade and static and all these other things. And there's many, many different things that affect shortwave. If you listen to 50-50 at night, you will find that it comes in much, much better. Shortwave broadcasting during the day, it's subject to sun flares and atmospheric changes and whatever else. Everything is more stable at night. That's why the signal propagates so much better at night.
Okay.
All right.
Just one last thing before I head out.
Okay.
I was doing a mathematical figure, and it sounded like you said you needed $5,000.
Actually,
$500,000 a year to operate.
Yeah.
I figured that if 417 people contributed at $100 a month, or 1,667 people at $25 a month, that we should be able to take care of RBN, and that's just a start. I mean, that doesn't seem like anything, but
Nick,
people really do have to realize that it's up to them to do what's necessary. And you know, this isn't a joke, and we got to, like you say, step up to the plate and swing that freaking bat as hard as we can.
I'm telling you, I mean, do you think that there's at least 1,600 people listening to this network?
There's got to be at least 50,000 people listening to your network.
At least 50,000. They're listening to us in Canada. They're listening to us in England. I get letters from Australia. I have talked to people all over this country. They are out there, but they have not made up their mind and not decided either where A, to put a few dollars, or B, they're allowing other people and assuming, I'm going to let this thing ride, assuming that other people are doing and they don't have to do. That is the only two possibilities I can think of. Or I don't even want to think of the third possibility, that they're just informational sponges and they don't care about anybody else but themselves. That I don't ever want to believe. But here's the facts. I'm looking at them right here after doing this pledge drive for going on two complete days. I'm looking at the numbers, and I got to tell you, I ain't impressed. I am not impressed. And if we think that with these little shoddy little numbers that we're going to have the wherewithal to beat back the New World Order, recapture this country, which I do believe is possible in my heart of hearts, I do believe is possible, we ain't going to do it like this. And if you folks out there are waiting for a miracle, well, we'll be buried in the camp someplace. Nicholas, I got to let you go, my friend. And I thank you for your call. Do me a favor, Danny. Don't cut them off until they say goodbye or whatever. You're real fast on that switch. I don't like doing that. Okay. Greg in Illinois. Thanks for holding on, Greg.
John?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Say, I was listening to one of the callers a little while ago, and he was saying, well, you know, what can he do? He was talking about his father and, mm-hmm. and the professor. And
yeah,
all
that was from California.
Right. Anyway, I honestly think that the people in this country are in denial. They are in absolute denial about a lot of things. And starting with the 911 thing, they cannot bring it to their mindset to think that this government could be involved in that. And what they do, and it happens to me all the time, is they do the ostrich thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, head in the sand, I don't want to go there. This I hear so often, it's just unbelievable. And what people have got to realize, that if they think for one second that they are going to be safe by being good little, quiet, meek little mice in the stage that we are in right now, they're wrong, because I'll tell you what's going to come down is going to affect every single one of them. And, you know, people may be doing pretty well right now, you know, in some aspects. Some people that are you know, good Republicans, and Bush has done the tax breaks for them and thinking that he's such a great guy and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what. These families, it's just a matter of time before each and every one of these people are going to be affected by what's going to come down. And there is no doubt in my mind. Give you an example. I've got a good friend of mine, and his wife is a high-powered attorney that was transferred to Washington, D.C. Her and the kids moved there. He's here where I'm calling from. And I talked to him today, and we were just talking, I said, well, how's your wife getting along? And he said, she hates it. I said, what do you mean she hates it? And he goes, she's scared to death. I said, what? And he goes, she's scared to death. I said, of what? He goes, Bush. He said, what's coming down? He goes, she's involved in some type of thing with the NSA situation now. And I said, geez, you know, he just said that she is just scared to death. I said, well, is she going to leave? And he goes, she's coming home on Halloween, the 31st of October. So, I mean, there are people that have to, you know, wake up to the thing that if they think that being quiet and not doing anything, they're going to be safe, they're wrong. They are absolutely wrong, because it's going to hurt each and every family. Some families worse than others, but everybody's going to get hurt in this whole deal. It's just a matter of time. You know, they'll probably take the easy pickings first, but I'll tell you, it'll expand. And like I say, everybody's going to be affected by this mess that's coming down, in my opinion.
Well, Greg, and I've heard it said one time that, you know, you've got doo-doo, and it's still doo-doo, even though you put a couple of pieces of bread around it. And that's what it is.
Yes.
And they think that they may be able to isolate themselves from this. Here's the decision. If they don't step up and make the decision that they're Americans, they know what a true patriot is, they understand what is going on, there is going to come a time where they may change their minds, but it may be too late.
Yep. I agree.
I've been doing this for a long time. I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to tons of people. I won't go down that road. Greg, I thank you for your call, sir.
Listen, you hang in there. It's what you're doing is not in vain. Believe me, it's not in vain. And people have just got to understand that, you know, when you see the truth right before your eyes, I mean, you know, being in denial of what's really happening, because it's easier just to forget about things and not get involved in this type of movement and organization. It's just wrong, because it's going to come back to haunt everybody that you know fails to listen and fails to just really rationally look at the truth about things, and you know, don't make pretend that things aren't happening that are happening, because that's not going to do any good, and it's going to happen. I mean, it really is. I just cannot believe how quickly this country has deteriorated, and I mean, it is so frightening to me that. You know, in a matter of 10 years, I mean, my God, I just this isn't the same country, and it's getting worse. It's going to get worse, you know, unless people just, you know, start just look at the truth about things. You know, I started in this whole thing, John, a long time ago, and the reason I did it, because, you know, I'm no bright person, but I was in a hotel room in the Midwest, and my mother called me and said, "Hey, turn on the TV," and you know, and I watched those buildings come down, and I said to myself, you know, this just doesn't pass the smell test, and it doesn't, and it never did. And what I did was I started reading everything that I could on this subject to try and help me to sleep at night. And my problem was that nothing that the government said made any sense at all. And it instead of helping me sleep, it caused me not to be able to sleep, because, you know, things just didn't make sense. And you know, it just, I don't know. People have just got to somehow wake up and keep harping and keep talking about it. Don't be afraid to say what you have to say. That's all. I'm sorry, John.
No, no.
I kind of ran it on a little bit.
No. That's fine, Greg. What they've got to do first is they just have to look themselves in the mirror. And I want everybody to do this is listening to the sound of my voice tonight. Before you go to bed, when you brush your teeth, or if you forget to brush your teeth and you get up in the morning and you're getting ready for work, you're shaving, or ladies, you're putting on your makeup, look at yourself in the mirror. Look who's looking back at you. Have a clear, objective opinion about who and what you are and what you're doing.
And John, if I can say one thing, I'll tell you what makes me feel the way that I do is not necessarily looking at myself, it's looking at my children. That's the key to me, because when I think of the world that they may have to grow up in, you know, I mean, every parent out there that has children has got to you know, we sacrifice all our life for our kids, and to not sacrifice the one thing that is the most important to anybody, which is freedom, is just unheard of as a parent to me. I mean, it's just like, you know, I may be called the kook on the block. I don't care, but we have to look at our kids, people. I mean, what are we leaving for? And I know you touched on it earlier, John, but what kind of a life are we going to leave for these kids? I mean, it's going to be just terrible if we don't turn things around.
No, Greg, I fully understand, and I what was the line that Bill Clinton said? I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be in a whole lot more of it if we don't make the decision as to how we want to move forward, and we've got to do it with intestinal fortitude.
Yes.
Hey, Greg, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming up, my friend. And
well, John, you just hang in there. Tomorrow's a new day, and that's the way I look at things. And everybody has just got to keep, you know, just keep working at it, and it'll come around. I just have that feeling. It just, you know, hope that it's not too late. But you know, people just can't get discouraged, and just keep plugging away the best that they can do, and that's all you can do.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate it.
Goodbye.
By the way, Robbie Noel, I'm going to be sitting in for Mr. Robbie Noel this evening. I guess Jeff Bennett was scheduled to do his show, and Jeff is a little miffed at me. I don't think Jeff had a guest, but I guess he had something planned for tonight, and this is one of the brokers for Republic Trading Group. But, folks, if we don't do what we need to do here, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you people, okay? I've been up, since 6 o'clock this morning, been in this network on the air a little after 7. Yesterday I was on the air at 6 a.m. And I'm going to be honest with you. The only reason, one of the main reasons, I will say, not the only reason, but the main reason that I've not shut this network down, locked a door, and walked away, because I will not turn my back on the people that love this network, that listen to it on a daily basis. And there's another reason why I wouldn't walk away, because there's always that potential that the people that listen to this network, that have the true spirit, and I mean the true spirit, not the phony kind, not the backslapping kind, show up, meet, eat, and retreat group. I'm talking about you true people out there. This has cost me a lot. And I'm not just talking in monetary dollars. I am talking about causing personal problems, causing great conflict, angst, sleepless nights. Not necessarily so much on my part, but my wife's part. To get engaged in an argument that has nothing to do, not anything to do, with really what's at hand. That being so stressed out that you end up in these stupid little petty arguments. How many of you out there have experienced that same thing? Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to call into the network, and we'll continue taking calls for the next hour and 11 minutes. Ed, Steve, Renee, Ben, just everybody, you just hang on there. I need you to call 800, ladies and gentlemen. 800-724-2719. I know a lot of you people out there, not a lot. There's some of you that's pretty broke. Others are better off than others. Others, you're better off than a lot of us. I need you to call 800-724-2719 and make a commitment today. Don't wait until tomorrow. There's people here tonight. Hubert Ashley's here. My wife is still here. Danny with the webmaster is still here. So there are people here that will take your phone call. We're looking for pledges, monthly pledges, a commitment, if you will, from you. Give us a call at 800-724-2719. You don't want to call in? You're online looking at your computer, listening to the show tonight? Well, minimize that page. Click on Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. Go to the site. Look for the button to the right at the top of the page, Republic Partner. That's a PayPal in increments of $10 to $1,000. And make a commitment per month. And do it now. Don't think about it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off until next week. Because there have been too many people carrying too much of a burden while others have not been involved. Do it now. Or if you don't want to, you don't have a computer, you're not online, maybe you're listening to us on radio someplace, maybe you're up in the holler with a shortwave radio listening to this broadcast right now, get yourself a stamp, get yourself an envelope, write this address down, Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, that's two words, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And send that envelope in, put a little stipend in there, tell us you want to be a monthly contributor. We will make it easy for you. We'll send you out 12 stamped and addressed envelopes for the ease of your use. Put it where you can see it. Probably the best place to put it is your stack of monthly bills, your electric bill, your water bill. Stick it in that pile. And every month while you're sending out the monthly bills, put that pledge, whatever you decide to pledge, stick it in that envelope. Drop it in the mailbox and know that you're supporting. You're not hoping somebody else does it. That you yourself have made the decision that you're going to step up to the plate. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, there is many other things. Once this network is stabilized and we have the funds to start operating the way a radio network should be operating, in light of the times that we're in, there are many people that I want to draw into this. There's many people I want to bring into the fold. There's many people that I want to be working with, networking with, to start to do the effective job that I know that we can do if we all make our mind up to do it. This is not a game. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is not maybe, shoulda, coulda. It is now. 800-724-2719. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Let me go back to the phones. We will be on the air for another hour. I'm sitting in for Robbie Noel tonight. Edward in Ohio. Hello, Edward.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I've got a suggestion that you probably won't agree with, but I was thinking, should I admit something about myself or not? And when you're talking about looking in the mirror and see what type of person's there, that kind of hit home with me, because I think part of the problem in this country, and I think this is true, is that people, they're not being honest with others, they're not being honest with God, and I hate to say this, but I don't even think that some people are being honest with themselves about themselves.
I understand.
So I'm gonna say something that you probably won't like, and I'm not saying this to discourage you or any of your callers, but I'm going to set an example. I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm ashamed to admit this. I'm doing this to set an example for others to follow. Not necessarily to be like me, but just to admit the truth about themselves. So I'm just going to do that. I'm an informational sponge. You can hang up on me if you would like to, and I wouldn't blame you because this is your deal here.
Why would I hang up on you?
Well, because you've really put your heart into this, and when you're talking to someone that's not contributing to you, and when you're talking about like should you kill yourself, should you shut the station down, should you get drunk, that tells me that you're really, you're really affected by your situation. So I wouldn't put it. Let me rephrase that. I wouldn't be angry at you if you did hang up on me, and I mean, I'd understand that.
No.
I can go a couple of ways with that. But before I forget, I would like to make a suggestion for how this country ought to go. But as far as on the subject of suicide, not that I'm promoting that, but I think I kind of understand what some radical Muslims are doing in Iraq. Now, I know that there's a difference between the Sunnis and the Shias, and I'm not talking about that difference there. I'm talking about Iraqi patriots, people that George calls insurgents or militants, or mm-hmm. that the controlled media calls these names.
I understand.
They desire their country. They don't desire the Zionist American oppression and domination and occupation of their country. Their oil is being taken. They're a Zionist type of democracy is being forced on them, which they don't like. This is my opinion, and they're fighting back, and they have nothing to lose but their lives, and they're giving their lives for their country. And it used to be a few years ago that these patriots were called cowards. I haven't heard that in a while. They're brave men that are doing that. They're putting their lives on the line. Regarding the Black, did you call it the Black Brigade?
The Black Brigade, yes.
Okay, I'm reading a book right now about two-fifths of the way through it, called The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution by J.T. Headley. And in there it talks about clergymen that preached, let's see, how shall I put this? They got the people right with God. They actually cared about their fellow American. I mean, today's modern American basically doesn't care about the other one. I see drivers stopping the crosswalk and stuff like that. They're just selfish.
We build houses without porches anymore.
You know
Does
what?
That tell
I grew.
You something?
I grew up. I mean, you're missing something if you don't have a porch.
You're missing the world going by.
I grew up on a side street here in Lakewood, Ohio. On a porch. I'm telling you, John, my favorite place to be in a thunderstorm was on the porch. That was the best place to be.
Yes, yes.
And it was neighborly. I mean, when I walk up and down some of these streets here in Lakewood, and I see these porches, there's just something about it. It seems like at one time this was a Christian city. I'm not saying every person was a Christian.
Right.
I'm saying it was a Christian type of a city.
It was more open and more inviting.
Yes, there was just that feel of it. And I think I've done a little studying on the Constitution. Now, you're probably going to disagree with me, but I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've been just kind of wondering about this, and something that really bothers me is the Supremacy Clause. It's Article 6, Clause 2, or the second paragraph, that some writer claimed that their document, written by man, is the supreme law of the land. Now, I've read the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I've read the Bible more than the Constitution. I've only read the Constitution like two or three times. I've read the Bible I don't know how many times. I don't recall. Or like over 10 times, I don't remember. But I know what Deuteronomy chapter 28 says. I know that the law of God is supreme because it is of the Creator. And the laws of man are temporary. They're changeable. They are of sinners. They're only decent when they're based on the law of God. So I don't know who the blasphemer was that wrote that supremacy.